You want to read the first five verses of Psalm 103. Bow together for prayer. Father, we come before you now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we pray, Lord, that the Spirit of God might open up our hearts and speak to our hearts as we look at the Word of God, that we might see the truth of it. I pray that if there are folks here that are not saved, that they might understand that they need to come to the Lord Jesus Christ for their eternal soul salvation. We pray, Lord, for each person here, that they might be willing to receive those things which are written in the Word of God and do them. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalm 103, verses 1 to 5. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of His benefits. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. You know, if you don't think that that is good, there is something wrong with you. These are some wonderful verses, all the good things that the Lord will do for you if you let Him. Just consider. Verse 2, bless the Lord, O my soul, forget not all of His benefits. You know, sometimes we say, woe is me, something has happened, and we forget His benefits. Forget not all of His benefits. And then they're listed right after that, who forgiveth all thine iniquities. There's nothing better in the world than to know that all your sins that you've ever done, have been forgiven by Almighty God because of what Jesus did on the cross. And it's all because of what Jesus did on the cross. And then the next phrase is quite some phrase, who healeth all thy diseases. You know, when you got a cold and you got over it, is because the Lord did it. And when you got the flu and you got over it, it's because the Lord did it. You might have thought it was the doctor and some super drug, but it is the Lord that does it, after all is said and done. Who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. You know, most of us like to have love shown toward us. And the Word of God says that it is He that crowns us with loving kindness and tender mercies. I mean, that sounds good to me. And we also see this, who healeth all thy diseases. You know what I would like to show you today is that half your health problems can be solved. Half your health problems can be solved if you'll just set aside yourself, your mind, and let the Lord work in you, and let His Word work in you, and believe His Word, and do His Word, half your health problems could be solved. Now, how do I know that? I know that because I'm a doctor. No, I'm not a medical doctor. I am a DD, not an MD. DD is Doctor of Divinity. But what someone may not realize is that a DD can give you some of the best possible medical advice that you could ever have. And actually, you don't have to be a DD. You could simply be a BB. That's a beloved brother, or a Bible believer. And that's all you have to be if you're a Bible believer, because the Creator of our bodies has written down great prescriptions for health. And I want to show you one of those today. It's in Proverbs chapter 3, the next book of the Bible, Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 to 8. Proverbs 3:5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord, and depart from evil. Here we go. It shall be health to thy navel, and marrow to thy bones. So if you will do what the Word of God tells you to do, in these verses, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. If you will do that, the Bible says it'll be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Half your health problems could be solved. Half your health problems. You know, you might say, well, preacher, how come you said half? You know, I don't know whether it's exactly half. You know, it's a good manner of speaking to teach a great truth to say it that way concerning health. But I don't know. I don't know whether it's 51.2% or whether it's 64.8% or whether it's 45%. I don't know the answer to that. But I think we can safely say half your health problems could be solved if you do what the Word of God tells you to do. Because if you do what God tells you in this book, a good deal of what the problem that you could have can be solved. Verse 7 says, be not wise in thine own eyes. One of the biggest problems that people have is that they're wise in their own eyes. They think that they know all the answers. They think they know how to go about everything. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord. Depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Now that's what God says, and I believe it. Now, let's ask ourselves the question, where does sickness come from anyway? I'd like to give you some suggestions. Number one, God can give sickness. Number two, the devil can give sickness. Number three, sin can give sickness. Number four, bad habits can give sickness. Number five, heredity can give sickness. And number six, and this is the bad news for today. And this is the worst news for today. And that is being human. Being human can give sickness just because you're human. So let's start with that one. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 9. We're going to come back to Proverbs from time to time, but 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 9 is the bad news. And this is what it says, 1 Peter 5, 9. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, talking about resisting the devil, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. And that's what the Word of God says. It also says He reigns on the, you know, on the just and on the unjust, the same. But you know, it says the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. So, you know, if you're saved, you can get the flu. If you're saved, you can get a cold. If you're saved, you can get cavities. See, whether you're saved or whether you're lost, all those things that come upon you, if you're saved, you can get cancer. You know, if you're saved, you can get a heart attack. If you're saved, you can get a stroke. All the same things that come upon unsaved people can come upon saved people, because you know it's appointed unto man once to die, and you're going to die of something. You may get something before you die, you may get something, and then after you have it for a while, you may die. Those things will happen. So that's number one, and that's a health problem. We can't do much about that. I said that's the bad news. And I guess, you know, maybe not as bad a news, but still in that same category. Number two, another reason why people get sick or various diseases has to do with heredity, you know. You may get it because your mom and dad, you know, had that kind of a thing. My friend, Dr. Robert Anderson, M.D., that's a medical doctor. We've had many discussions about health over the years, and we still do from time to time on the telephone. I have noticed that he put a lot of weight on my mother and father's medical history. And he would say, well, I doubt that that's what's wrong with you, because, you know, that wasn't in your mother, it wasn't in your father, you know. So he put a lot of weight on medical history, which, of course, has been a little scary to me, considering how many times my mother's heart stopped beating since she was 16 years old. I mean, it would stop beating. And she would, you know, and when she was married, you know, my father, he would put his ear on her chest and listen and hold her pulse, and there would wouldn't be anything for what he's told me seemed like a long, long time. And then her body would shake a little bit and she would revive and she would be in a weakened condition. The last time that happened to her, she was 65 years old. She was already in the hospital. So she was already hooked up to a whole bunch of stuff. And, you know, stuff started going off and everybody started running around and all that kind of thing. And then they decided to give her a pacemaker, and that would start her heart when it stopped. And you know, that was my mother's situation, and her mother died of a heart attack when she was 58 years old, so that wasn't too good. But you know, my mother and father's life verse was the verses we started, started with today. It's Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. That was kind of their life verse. And my mother lived to be 86 years old for all the other problems, you know. Heredity can be the cause of some of our physical problems. And you know, most of us wouldn't mind inheriting a fortune, but most of us, instead of inheriting a fortune, we inherit some physical problems. And you know, I grew up, and most of my life, I never considered myself to be really a healthy person. I had a lot of problems. But I married a girl that I considered to be the picture of health. And I thought, well, you know, when my girls, when my daughters came into the world, you know, that they would be like their mother. But they were more like me. We seemed to get the weaker ones, you know? And, you know, what I can understand, though, is that, you know, up until I was well in my 40s and you know, and my wife in her 50s, I mean, we never wore glasses because we had perfect vision all our life growing up until after you were 40 years old, you know? And all my daughters all had imperfect vision, had to have some form of glasses. I couldn't understand that, why that happened, you know? And when Stephen came along and didn't have to have glasses, you can be sure those three girls were mighty upset about that. Half your health problems, though, can be solved if you do what the Word of God says. And we see the reason for some health problems. It can be because we're human. And another one can be because of we inherited. And number three, bad habits can give you health problems. You know, most people know that smoking can be hazardous to your health. Most people know that. I knew a guy, in fact, I worked for him many years ago. He was in his early 30s at the time, and he had emphysema so bad that when he tried to exercise, he loved sports, loved to play tennis, but when he tried to exercise, go out and play basketball, his face would turn colors, you know? But he kept lighting up to calm his nerves. And he had this terrible problem with emphysema. As a matter of fact, if you've been watching the news over the last couple of weeks, you would have seen that Johnny Carson, Dirty Johnny, died. And what did he die of? Emphysema. What did he do all of his life? He smoked cigarettes, and he died of emphysema. Who knows what the last years of his life were like, being a smoker all of his life and dying of emphysema. It might have been very torturous for him. We don't know. And you know what? He lived to be 79 years old. That's a pretty good age, you know? Yet, you know, as fit as he might have been otherwise, so who knows whether he might have lived to be 95 if he hadn't been such a smoker. And of course, you can get lung cancer and other things from the bad habit of smoking. Drinking, you know, drinkers can get cirrhosis of the liver. It's very common with drinkers. I guess you can get it if you're not a drinker, but drinkers are very common. Another dirty guy that, you know, had cirrhosis of the liver real bad was Dirty Larry Hagman, you know, who was the star of Dirty Dallas. You probably remember that, and if you do, don't admit it. You know, that was was on television many, many years ago, and he became very famous because of that. Well, he was also very famous for being miserable to work with because he was drunk continually, ended up with cirrhosis of the liver, got a little break in his life, and he got somebody else's liver. So they tore his out and put somebody else's in, and he lived after that. But, you know, those, you know, bad habits, bad sinful habits like smoking and drinking can cause you to have some terrible, terrible health problems that you might not have had otherwise. You know, overeating could be one too. I was at the Calvary Cafe, and some of the ladies said to me, "Oh, you're going to talk about this in a message." And I said, "No, I don't think so." And then I amended that a little bit. I thought maybe it is there. You know. But you know that could happen too. You know, we keep overeating, and that could put stress on something. How about carousing and not getting enough sleep? You know, that's another thing that could damage a person's bad habit, could give you health problems that you could have otherwise avoided. And that's why God says, fear the Lord and depart from evil. If you'll depart from some of those bad habits, then you won't have the bad health that comes as a result of those things. You know, and talking about eating, our mamas told us that not eating our vegetables is not healthy. And you know, I think that's pretty good, except for one. You know, I think avoiding broccoli is good for me, but you know what I don't understand? Broccoli looks like an Italian word to me. Somebody explain this to me. A broccoli, you know, it ends with an I, like Italian words are Stromboli, you know, or spaghetti. It's kind of Italian kind of word. Broccoli, you know? And what I don't understand is, you know, I go into these Chinese restaurants and they got broccoli. You know, maybe if it was Brock, B-R-O-C, and then dash L-E-E, Lee, you know, then I would think maybe that was a Chinese vegetable. I mean, I can't understand it. They have these exotic vegetables, but broccoli, at least when I tell them, would you keep it out of there, they usually do. But, you know, broccoli should be limited to Italians or Latins whose names end with an I in them, you know? But anyway, you eat too much, and you don't wash your hands, that could be bad for your health. Half your health problems could be solved if you will do what God says to do. Fear the Lord, depart from evil, it'll be health to your navel and marrow, to your bones, but not all of them. We've looked at the fact that if you're a human, you can well come down with diseases because you're human, or two, you might inherit some from your father or mother or family history, but we get into bad habits can develop them, and they could have been avoided. Number four, the devil could strike you. The devil could strike you. You could be the best man on earth, and the devil could strike you. As a matter of fact, that's exactly what has happened. Job, you'll remember, God said, "Is there anybody like him on the face of the earth?" No, he was the best man on earth, and Satan struck him. Here's the verse. "So went Satan forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot unto his crown." Job 2:7. He was the best man on earth, and he was stricken by Satan. Have you ever noticed how ignorant people know it all? You ever notice that? You know, would you have been like Job's three friends who were sure his trouble came because he sinned? Well, there's people like that, you know? Oh, somebody's got a health problem. Yeah, he must have sinned. You like that? Well, I mean, You know, if you were suddenly stricken with some awful disease, would you know why? Would you know why? Job's three friends, they knew why. But God spoke to them later on because they were way off base. Job didn't know why, but his friends knew why. And naturally, people will think they know what's wrong with somebody else. How do you know why someone else is sick? In Job's case, it was Satan. And he was doing it so that he could persecute a good man, and he wanted Job to curse God. And so he brought all manner of stuff upon him because he wanted him to curse God. He wanted Job to think, God's not taking care of me. You know, when I say half your health problems, it's a manner of speaking. The Bible doesn't give us the percentage. Number 5, God could strike you. Go to Numbers chapter 12. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, fourth book of the Bible. Numbers chapter 12. How can diseases come upon us? Well, we've seen if we're human, we could get diseases because we're human. We could inherit diseases. Bad habits could give us diseases. The devil could give us diseases, even if we're good. And God can strike you with a disease. Numbers chapter 12, and Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married, for he had married an Ethiopian woman. So here is suddenly two of the spiritual leaders of Israel. They think that Moses is way off base, you know. Hey, he shouldn't have married this woman. And now they're speaking against Moses because they think they know better than Moses. Verse 2, and they said, hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? And now they're getting real spiritual and say, is he the only one that can give us the word of God? And watch this, hath he not spoken also by us? You know, aren't we just as important as Moses? And then you notice what it says, and the Lord heard it. And the Lord heard it, and he always does. Verse 3, now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. And the Lord spake suddenly unto Moses and unto Aaron and unto Miriam, come out ye three unto the tabernacle of the congregation. And they three came out. And the Lord came down in the pillar of the cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam, and they both came forth. And he said, hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I the Lord will make myself known unto him in a vision and will speak unto him in a dream. My servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all mine house. With him will I speak mouth to mouth, even apparently and not in dark speeches, and the similitude of the Lord shall he behold. Wherefore then were ye not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? The anger of the Lord was kindled against him, and he departed. And a cloud departed from off the tabernacle, and behold, Miriam became leprous. I mean, she got leprosy, dreaded, terrible disease of leprosy. White as snow, and Aaron looked upon Miriam, and behold, she was leprous. And Aaron said unto Moses, alas, my Lord, I beseech thee, lay not the sin upon us wherein we have done foolishly, and wherein we have sinned. Now he says, we have sinned. But God struck her with leprosy because of her rebellion against Moses. And here's a case where some of God's people who were leaders in Israel, Aaron and Miriam, they got too big for their britches. And God put an end to it. And he gave her a disease. You know, it's not a bad thing to examine your heart. It's never a bad thing to examine your heart. Sometimes the Lord has to get our attention. And there are many ways He can get our attention. One of them can be help. Turn to James chapter 5, please. It is good to examine your heart always. James chapter 5. Verse 15. The prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up, and if he hath committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. This is that passage of Scripture where it says if somebody is sick, you know, call the elders. And you know what? That person could examine their heart and say, you know, have I been sinning against Almighty God, and that's a reason why I'm sick? You could say that to yourself. You know, it may be some of these other reasons why you're sick that I've already given. But you know what? If it's sin, then you want to confess that sin. And that's what verse 15 says. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he hath committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. So if he calls the elders and then he confesses his sin, the prayer of faith can save the sick. If you were suddenly stricken, what would it be from, do you suppose? What would it be from? Would it be from the Lord for rebelling against authority? Would it be from the devil to seek to destroy your faithfulness? Would it be from a bad habit? Would it be from heredity? Would it be just because you're human? Can you see that you could avoid two out of the four? Two out of the four reasons a person could be stricken, you could avoid. You confess to the Lord in this particular one, and you could be healed. Or you could stop a bad habit. Two out of the four. Now the devil inflicted, or heredity, or human, that may be another story. But half your health problems could be solved. And then we go to number six. Your own sin can do you in. Now, I've already mentioned some obvious, well-known things like drinking and cirrhosis of the liver, or carousing, or smoking and emphysema or lung cancer. Sexual sins can give some nasty stuff, a venereal disease. And most of the disgusting sins can give you, the most disgusting of sins can give AIDS. Though even in something like AIDS, occasionally someone will seemingly be innocent and still contract AIDS. I think of Arthur Ashe back many years ago. He seemed to be a wonderful gentleman in the tennis realm. And he got AIDS after he had a heart attack and had blood transfusions before the days of blood testing was sufficient, and probably got it from the blood transfusions. But you know, there are some other real unhealthy sin, and the Christians can do these unhealthy sins, really unhealthy. And the problem is that Christians can be super shallow mud puddle Christians. And they can think, you know what, I don't drink, and I don't smoke, and I don't run with those that do, and I go to church, and I volunteer to help in church, and I'm a pillar in the church. So I'm not doing those kind of sins. But God says, fear the Lord and depart from evil. It'll be health to your navel and marrow to your bones. And there's some sins that you can do that bring you some health problems. Now turn to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. I'm going to start reading at verse 19. Galatians chapter 5, verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest. Manifest means they're revealed, they're made known. The works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, and heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, reveling, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. In other words, those are the sins of your life, and that's what's continuing on in your life. You're not saved, you're not on your way to heaven. You know what's very interesting about these verses? The super shallow mud puddle Christian would see the sins in verse 19. You see them? Adultery. No, I haven't committed adultery. I'm not worried. Fornication. Uncleanness. Lasciviousness. And that super shallow mud puddle Christian said, you know, I don't do those. And I can certainly recognize that those people that do those kind of things, you know, they can really have some bad health problems, all those dirty things, fornication. You know, I can see where they can lead to disease. But what you need to see here is that in God's ranking system, that amidst these which we see as being the worst of sins are these other sins like hatred, wrath, strife, envying. See, did you notice that they're right in there with the rest of them? Look at this. Starts with adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. No Christian would ever say, well, I want to be like that. Idolatry, witchcraft. No, I'm none of those things. Hatred. It's right there. Variance, emulations. And then wrath, strife, sedition, that's rebellion, heresies. Verse 21, envyings, right next to murders. Well, I'm not a murderer. But envying's right there with it. You know, it's popular today, you know, to have the list. They're doing this a lot on sports, you know, program. Here's the 10 most famous plays. Here's number 10. You know, you get the one. God doesn't have, He's got them. They're all in there together. They're all there and together. There's not a category where we say, here are the real bad ones, and here's the not so bad ones. They're all kind of mixed up there together. You know, it starts with adultery, and it ends with drunkenness, revelings, and the like, and murders, and mixed in with, you know, idolatry and witchcraft, you have hatred, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings. They're all there together. It's the works of the flesh. The Lord didn't say, you know, here are the major bad ones, and here are the ones that are not so bad, you don't have to worry about it if you're involved in hatred. He didn't say that. He didn't say, don't worry about wrath. Just stay away from adultery, don't worry about wrath. He didn't say, don't worry about envying, you know, as long as you're not into idolatry. They're all there together. Hatred, strife, sedition, heresy, envying. They're all there together. All terrible sins. And you know what? They can all do you great damage. You know, over the 30 years that I've pastored these two churches, we have from time to time people who leave the church. And many times those that leave cause a hurt, seek to hurt the church, want to cause upheaval, want to infect other people with their hatred. If you hate them, it could be bad for your health. Hatred is one of the ones listed here. It's a terrible emotion, hatred. If you hate them, I mean, you shouldn't hate them because God says otherwise. But it'd be good for your health not to hate them. And I consulted some writings of some doctors, and here's a Dr. English, who published an excellent illustrated book explaining how emotions, hatred is an emotion, envying is an emotion, wrath, that kind of anger, is intense emotion, isn't it? How emotions can cause debilitating and fatal illnesses. The first picture in this book depicts the emotional center in the brain from which nerve fibers go out to every organ of the body. Because of the intricate nerve connections, it is understandable how any turmoil in the emotional center, all right, so turmoil, hatred is turmoil, envying is turmoil, wrath is turmoil, strife is turmoil. It's understandable how any turmoil in the emotional center can send out impulses which can cause anything from a headache to itching in the soles of the feet. The emotional center produces these widespread changes by means of three principal mechanisms. By changing the amount of blood flowing to an organ, by affecting the secretions of certain glands, and by changing the tension of muscles. And that's what those emotional feelings can do in a person. All right, then we have Dr. McMillan, and he says this, an emotional tempest. All right, wrath is an emotional tempest. Anger is an emotional tempest. Hatred is an emotional tempest. Strife is an emotional tempest. An emotional tempest sends SOS messages to the thyroid gland for its secretions. When an excess of thyroxin is poured into the blood over a long period, the symptoms of toxic goiter are seen. Extreme nervousness, bulging eyes, rapid pulse, and even fatal heart disease. He goes on to say the highly important adrenal glands are frequently the target of emotional fire. Their secretions in abnormal amounts can cause high blood pressure, arthritis, kidney disease, and hardening of the arteries. What is a lot better for your health? Well, the Lord continues to speak. And look what he says in verse 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. You know what? If somebody leaves the church in anger, and that's why they leave, because they certainly didn't have the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering. If they would have had those things, then everything would have been, they would have made different decisions. Now, anger is the reason that people leave. Anger, revenge. And those are not love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. If they leave with anger, don't respond in kind. It's bad for you. It's bad for your health. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. That's what you got to learn. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. You know what? We think we do. But you know the day that you're praying and you're not at peace, you say, well, you know what? I just found out I'm not really trusting the Lord with all my heart. I'm worried about some stuff that I haven't laid on the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him. He shall direct thy path. Be not wise in your own eyes. Oh, that's a big problem that humans have. Humans think that they know all the answers. And because of that, they can have a tendency not to receive God's word. Oh, preacher, you're not using the word of God right. not, be not wise in your own eyes. Yeah, you know what? I can tell you, the dumbest sports fan is wise in his own eyes. You ever notice that? They are. The dumbest sports fan. So watching his football game, right? He doesn't really know anything about football, you know? He doesn't know what the back judge does, right? He doesn't know what the referee's job is compared to the umpire. See, I just showed you how much he didn't know about it. Right? And he doesn't know.
That wasn't the right call!
I know. And if his team gets behind, he thinks, coach is so stupid. You know? And why didn't he put this guy in? Over the course of watching football in my life, I have seen more people calling for the backup quarterback to come in and pull the game out, you know?
Why did you put that guy in? He's so much better.
I had the opportunity back in the early 60s to go to the New York Jets training camp because I worked right nearby where they trained in Peekskill, New York. And they had a quarterback by the name of Joe Namath, who was quite a famous quarterback if you want to know anything about sports. And he had a backup quarterback, and his name was Tolliver. If you looked at it, you would have pronounced it Taliaferro, but it was pronounced Tolliver. Don't ask me why. Now, when I went out there, I could see the same thing the coach could see, what I didn't notice on television. Which wasn't very apparent on television. And that was that I could see Joe Namath stand on the sideline warming up his arm, throwing these long 50-yard perfect spiral beautiful passes and throwing every one of them, and the guy that was catching him, helping him warm up, was catching him right against his chest, boom, every time. When the other guy was warming up, those passes weren't anywhere near. And then when they had the drills and they had this one sideline pass, you know, Joe Namath always hit this guy, you know, this would be about 40-yard pass to the sidelines, but right on the hands, right before the guy got out of bounds. This other guy's pass was all over the place, see. But if Joe was having a bad day, the fans were like, put the other guy in. Hey, there's a reason why I didn't put the other guy in, because he knows his pass is all over the place and probably would go to the other team. Hey. But you know what? Be not wise in your own eyes. Sometimes the less a person knows, the more they mouth off. Think they know it all. Be not wise in your own eyes. One of the most important things you'll ever do in your life is be not wise in your own eyes. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. You know, someone leaves the church in anger, and that's why they leave. Don't respond. It's bad for you. You know, it's always going to be happening in churches. You know that? It's always going to be happening in good churches. Always is. It happens in a true church. You know, the Apostle Paul got the end of his life, and you would think, you know, here's a guy that has produced more fruit for Jesus Christ than anybody we could think of, the Apostle Paul. You would think, if you want to be near anybody in all your life, you want to be near the Apostle Paul at the end of his life, because look at what he has produced for the Lord Jesus Christ. At the end of his life, in the last chapter that he ever writes, he says, "Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world. Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil." Right? It's always going to happen. It doesn't happen so much in dead churches that are more like clubs. But where you're doing something for the Lord, it's going to happen. Don't be drawn into other people's anger and their strife. Because two things can happen to you. One, it can rub off on you, so you get angry about the same stuff. Or two, you can get angry about their anger. And then you're not having the fruit of the Spirit. It's bad for you. What is God's will? God's will is the fruit of the Spirit, is love and joy and peace and long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. You know, what's temperance? What is temperance? Self-control. That's what it is. You know, it got to be used so much when people are trying to stop drinking alcohol, you know, but temperance means that you can control yourself and not let yourself get carried away. Not fly off the handle in anger. Now let's tie all this to this promise for health. which is in Proverbs 3. I think it would be good if you went back and looked at it rather than me just quote Proverbs 3:5. Look at it again, because there's a promise of God here. Proverbs 3:5-8. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him. He shall direct thy path. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Depart from evil. Hatred is evil. It's listed right there with all the other stuff that sends people to hell. Wrath is evil. You know, I teach our basketball players, there's a reason why I believe that basketball can be a very good thing for people if they're taught these character traits. I tell them, you know what, somebody does something to you in a basketball game, somebody from the other team does something dirty to you, yeah, and it happens at Christian schools too, you know, somebody does something to you, don't respond. I say, you know what, don't respond to what they've done. Don't retaliate to what they've done. The only thing that's important is what you do. You can't control what other people do. We can only control what we do. And we always want to do the right thing, regardless of what other people do. But he did. No, it don't matter. It's bad English. It don't matter what he did. It only matters what I do. That's the only thing that counts. I can only control what I do. I can't control what other people do. And for me, I want to not be wise in my own eyes. I want to take it from God. Depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Can you see that avoiding sin, the sins of hatred, wrath, strife, envy, can be good for your health? Half your health problems could be solved. Not all. Being human, you know, you can't solve that. Inheriting something, you can't solve that. But bad habits, you could. The devil, well, you couldn't solve that. You got to trust the Lord to take care of that one. The Lord, you could solve that he didn't bring something upon you to get your attention. And your own sin, you can solve that. Half your health problems could be solved. If you'll just do what the Lord tells you to do, trust him and depart from evil, he promises that he will give you some health. Let's bow for prayer. So our heads are bowed and we come to our prayer and invitation time. This is a time in our service when you can get alone with your own heart before the Lord. And you can speak to the Lord. And if you're saved and you know you're saved, and you're holding hatred or bitterness, you're angry with people, oh, you ought to confess it unto the Lord. Say, Lord, I got to get this out of my life because it's not right. You want to do it for that reason. And if you're selfish, at least do it for your own good health. Hatred, wrath, bitterness, strife, envyings. You get upset about what other people have. Say, Lord, I confess it. Forgive me, Lord, of every bit of this. Lord, I want to walk in the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, gentleness. Lord, that's what I want to have in my life. That's what I want my life to be all about. Lord, please, forgive me, cleanse me, strengthen me from that which is evil. And let my life be filled with the fruit of the Spirit. Would you do that, child of God, right now, in the quietness of your heart and all sincerity before God? And perhaps there's someone here, and you don't know if you died right now, that you would go to heaven. And you, the Spirit of God might have spoken to your heart while I was preaching and saying, you know, you've got some of these things in your life, and you heard it read that you can't inherit the kingdom of God because of those things. I want to tell you, friend, the good news is that Jesus died and paid the price of all your sin. And He'll wash it all away. That's how we started off today. That He, with great loving kindness and tender mercies, forgiveth all our iniquities. And you can have all your iniquities forgiven today because of what Jesus did on the cross when He died for your sin. If you'll just believe it. And not trust in anything. The verse said, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Not trust in any goodness you might think you have, or in some belief, or church, or baptism. But if you'll just trust that what the Lord did on Calvary will save you from your sin, you could be saved today forever. He promised. Him that cometh to me, I will nowise cast out. Will you come to Him right now in the quietness of your heart and say, Lord, please save me based on what Jesus did and that alone. Would you do that in this quiet moment? About before I pray, I want to ask you if you did that. If you say, preacher, I just prayed for the Lord to save my soul, I mean it with all my heart, I'd love to be saved today. Would you raise your hand and let me know before I pray? Is there someone? Say, preacher, I just prayed for the Lord to save my soul, I mean it with all my heart, I want to be saved today. Would you raise your hand and let me know before I pray? I see your hand. Lord bless you. Is there someone else? Preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved, and on my way to heaven, I'd like to be saved today. Father, we come before You in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray for God's people, that they might in humility respond to the preaching of the Word of God. I pray, Lord, for this one who raised the hand, that he might have the joy and peace that passes all understanding and know that he is saved and all of his sins are washed away once and forever. I pray, Lord, that he might have the courage to come and get the counsel that he needs. In Jesus' name, amen.